This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
Hello, we're starting back in Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 9. And in the previous part of this chapter, Paul has talked about the fact that Abraham's righteousness was credited to him by God. It was a gift from God, and it came because Abraham believed God, and that's why it was credited to him as righteousness. But of course, for the Jews, Abraham was their father, and he was the father of the circumcised. And you were one of Abraham's children because you were circumcised. So now in verse 9, Paul asks the question, is this blessed gift of God given to the circumcised or to the uncircumcised as well? And his question is really, so when did it get given to Abraham? When did God credit him with righteousness? And the answer is that verse, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, comes from Genesis chapter 15. And that's before Abraham was circumcised. And this is the big push of the next bit of Paul's argument. Because what he's saying in verses 9 onwards is because this came before circumcision, it's not because of circumcision. Abraham wasn't righteous because he got circumcised. He got circumcised because God had accepted him. And as a sign of his acceptance, he became circumcised. In other words, circumcision was a sign that the Hebrews, the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were accepted by God because they were people of faith. And faith is the big thing that he's really talking about in this section of the letter of Romans. In fact, it goes through the whole of Romans. What is faith? And all sorts of people have all sorts of ideas about what faith is. If you really, really believe in something, if you really, really believe something and you pray for it and believe you've got it, that is faith and you will get it. But that is not what Paul is talking about. It's not what the Bible talks about. That's not faith. That's magic. It's something else, but it's certainly not biblical faith, because biblical faith is to do what Abraham did. Biblical faith is to believe God, to take God at his word. The word God spoke to Abraham was, your wife Sarah will have a son, and through that son I will give you descendants which cannot be counted in number. That's the promise. And that promise we can see is totally true, because firstly, Sarah did get a son in her aged years. She was 90, I think. Abraham was 100. And you can't count his descendants, because actually, we can't look at a person and say that person's of Abraham and that person's not. Because not only is it all the people of Israel, but as Paul is beginning to say, no, it's also the uncircumcised who believe God and are included in the family of Abraham because of faith. And you can't see who is and who isn't in that group. It's an uncountable group. We are many in number. And what then is faith? It's to believe God, to take God at his word. It's to live your life acting on the word of God. And the word of God starts off being scripture. Particularly it is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through him was everything made. And he came into this world and full of grace and truth and grew up amongst us, and we recognize him. And John's Gospel goes on to talk about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. There are times when God gives specific words to specific people. We have to be careful about that. We have to know whether it is God or not. But let's start with the Bible. Faith is taking the Bible and believing it to be God's word and living your life acting on it. That's faith. And faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Faith is what gets you things in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of His Majesty King Charles III, pounds, I was going to say pounds, shillings and pence, that shows how old I am, pounds and pence get you things. The more pounds and pence you have, the more you can buy. In the kingdom, if I may use that word, of the United States of America, it's dollars and cents. It's a financial currency. But in the kingdom of God, the currency is not pounds and pence or dollars and cents, it's faith. And faith is what gets you things. Now that can go wrong. Immediately people start thinking, oh, if I have faith in God, I can have this and this and this. No, it's, what did Abraham get? He got a son. How did he get the son? He believed God, who said, I will give you a son through Sarah. So his faith was to believe that God had said, I'll give you a son. Now, what immediately happens, and this is the enemy's attempt, the devil's attempt to destroy faith, is along comes an opportunity to get what God has said, and it looks right. But it isn't right. So in Abraham's case, they waited and nothing happened. And Sarah said, quite naturally, because it was the tradition of the day, well, maybe God doesn't really mean I'm going to have this child. You're going to have the child. My servant girl will give you that child. That's my child in one sense, because I own the servant girl. I own the slave. You sleep with the slave. She will have a child. That's God's answer. And that was the young lad Ishmael, whom Abraham deeply loved and grew up. And Abraham believed, this is God's answer. This is, I have faith. And God has given me this son. But that wasn't God's plan. So immediately, or very soon after God's word was spoken, an opportunity to do it himself came along, and he went for that, and he got something which was less than what God wanted to give him. And it was a tragic story. It is a tragic story, really, because the rivalry between Ishmael and later Isaac, or their families, has rippled down through the centuries and causes all sorts of grief even today. But let's pass on that. That's not the subject of Romans chapter 4. He got that, but it wasn't what God had promised. Because God comes back and says, actually, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, oh, can't Ishmael be that son? I love Ishmael. No, there is another son coming. Sarah laughed, and Abraham laughed. They called the son Isaac, which means laughed. Laughter was the answer that God had. This was something much more than just, you'll do it your way. Now, of course, Abraham and Sarah were involved in this. It wasn't a virgin birth. Natural processes went, but it was the natural process of husband and wife, even though that was yonks beyond when naturally that might do something. God did something with a barren womb that had died and shriveled probably by the time she was 90, and a man who possibly wasn't functioning as we would expect a young man to function. And suddenly God did something with them and miraculously gave the gift of Isaac. So I'm saying all of that, which obviously isn't in Romans chapter 4, to say very often the enemy comes along with a way of getting what God has promised, but that is not what God has promised. And we need to grow up and mature a bit and say, ah, that's actually not God's way of doing this. I've got to wait. Waiting is part of faith. Faith, if God says something and it's clear, then often there is a waiting process. It's a not a now, it's a in the future, in that right moment, God will provide. And hanging on and saying, thank you, God, though it has not yet been manifest in my life, thank you, I believe your word. And that is faith, and that's what was credited to Abraham, even though he got it wrong, even though he did it not entirely perfectly, it was credited to him as righteousness because he actually believed God said it, it will happen. And ultimately, that's where he got to, and ultimately, that's what happened. And then comes circumcision. Then comes the sign that you are my child, you are my man, Abraham, and to mark you out, you will be circumcised. The New Testament version of circumcision, possibly we could say, is baptism. That you don't get baptized to become a Christian. You don't get baptized to be included in God's family. You have been included. You believed God. You have received the forgiveness given by Jesus on the cross. And as a sign of that, you get yourself baptized. Okay, we haven't looked at any of the actual words of this part of Romans chapter 4 from verse 9 onwards, but I've sort of talked around what it says. I'm going to pick up from verse 13, though, where it says in the NIV, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. What's he going on about here? Well, he's again talking about the fact that Abraham came before the law. The law came through Moses, which was hundreds of years after Abraham. Abraham's faith caused him to be righteous. The law, he's saying, is not what makes you righteous. Although, if you absolutely obeyed the law, then you would not be with sin, but no one ever has, except for Jesus. And therefore the law puts you in a position of being a lawbreaker because we do not fulfill it, and that leads us to wrath, which means the righteous judgment of God on those who break the law. But faith, you see, and this is the whole argument of Romans, is what Jesus has done, is fulfilled the law, been punished for breaking the law, and transferred the punishment that he took from us, that we should have had, and the righteousness that he should have had, he has transferred to us. So he took our punishment, we receive his righteousness. How? By faith, by believing that even though I woke up this morning conscious of the sin of yesterday, or the sin of some sin is in my mind, I can come to him and say thank you, that because of the cross and what you did there, I am made righteous. I believe that you have made me righteous because I believe your word. And that is what faith is. It is believing God's word. So to come to Scripture and say, whatever I'm going to read today, Lord, I choose to believe it because you said it. I believe this is your word. I believe you. I believe what you've said. And as we build our faith muscles, we build, if you like, the bank account of faith, we will begin to see that actually that enacts in powerful ways through our lives, through our ministry. It begins to impact the people around us. We begin to see answers to prayer. We begin to see things change when we pray because we believe God's word. And we believe that God has said, this is not acceptable, therefore we pray in accordance with what God has said, and we see change. Or we see God has said, I want to do this, and we pray in accordance with God's word. And we begin to see those things happen because as we build our faith muscles, as we build our faith bank account, our faith becomes powerful. Elijah was a man of like nature with ourselves. He prayed, and for 3.5 years it did not rain. He prayed again, and it rained. He's like us. Everything you think about yourself, the stuff you know, the things that make you feel guilty, which we shouldn't feel guilty, because we should bring those things to God to be cleansed and to know we are clean. That's what faith is. The promise, verse 16, comes by faith, so it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only of those of law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. So not only those who have come up through the Hebrew Jewish religion, but also uncircumcised people who have come in by faith, believing God's word. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. That's what we receive by faith. Jesus was, the last verse of chapter 4, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Believe it. Receive it by faith. I believe, Lord, that you were delivered over to death for my sin and you were raised to life for my justification. Therefore, I am justified before God. I believe it. Not because I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. Not because I try to follow any rules any man has ever made up. But because you died and because you rose again. Had to be both bits. For one bit, our sins, he was delivered to death. The other bit, he rose again, and we are justified because death is defeated. The law of sin leads to death has been fulfilled, and then death has been defeated. And we believe that by faith. It's credited to us as righteousness and life eternal. That's the argument Paul is making. It's believe what God has said.
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.